This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the family with
Mike Gelfand
and Andy Brant-Bernard.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You have breaking news to kick off the show.
Yes, we do.
Just popped up 60 seconds ago, 2 minutes ago, something like that. Kind of sad news in some ways. In other ways, not. But, I mean, it's sad because basically this guy and Gelfand were the same type of person all the way. And I got to reveal it to you, Mike. It's going to crush you, but O.J. Simpson just died.
I'm totally shocked. I guess headlines come into my head. There's going to be a lot of people playing off the glove thing, you know.
Oh, there's no doubt, Mike. It's already starting.
If the coffin fits, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I will tell you, and I'm not kidding, when I see that pop up, I go to several different channels to see their take on it, which I was just doing for the last 15 minutes because he just died a very short time, a half an hour ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that in any case. But every single reporter, every one of them so far has said, in my opinion, he did commit double murder.
Oh, really? That's
a really shock.
Oh,
yeah. Way to take a bold stance.
The bold stance. How many years ago was that now? 30?
A lot, yeah. I think it was more. Wasn't it like 92?
Was it 92?
It was a long time ago. I remember I was down in Florida, when he was on trial, I sort of went down there to cover the trial.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Of course, I couldn't get into the courtroom. But,
oh, yeah, I suppose.
But,
yeah.
You know, I still can't. I think I captured the ambience, you know.
Well, I will say this. They say that cancer killed OJ, but I'm not going to stop until I find out what the real killer was.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to stop, Andy. Mm-mm.
You know, it is sort of hard not to celebrate his death, isn't it?
Not celebrate, yes. Just so much as riff off of.
Yeah, well, I guess,
to some people, I suppose, is a form of celebration, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not suggesting that I'm going to pop open some champagne tonight or anything like that, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a terrible person.
He was a terrible person.
He wasn't even a good actor.
That's true.
No. You know who just loved him, though? Just loved the guy was Philip Wise. Just loved O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's right. He insisted on his innocence.
Fellow
football player. I love Philip. Philip's a great guy. But
he thought terrific.
The world of him.
Yeah. It is hard sometimes to come to terms with the fact that the person you idolize happens to be a murderer.
Yeah, it's a problem. I could see that being a problem. But, yeah, he just died, and literally every single reporter that I saw on several different networks, I knew he did it.
Yeah, it was, it was reportedly prostate cancer.
Oh, with prostate cancer?
A few years ago, he had it, and then he said he beat it, but it would appear he did not beat it.
I remember going to see a comedy act. It was, what's his name? Black, you know, what's his first name?
Oh, Lewis.
Lewis, yeah. And
phenomenal.
So went to see him at a couple people at a casino, and he started out, this was very shortly after the murder, and he said, I'm just taking a survey here. How many of you, just raise your hand if you think O.J. is guilty. And people raised their hand. And then he said, okay, now raise your hand if you think he's innocent. A few people raised their hand. And then he said, that's great. He said, I wasn't really taking a survey. It was an intelligence test.
I love Lewis Black.
Yeah.
I do. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, that happened when I was so young that it didn't really affect me. Like, I don't know anything. To me, O.J. Simpson is just like the double murder guy. I don't register him as a football player or an actor or anything like that because I was maybe 6 years old when that happened, so I wasn't paying any attention to it.
I will tell you this. I know a couple of guys, and I won't say who they are. You'd know them, actually. By you, I mean the audience would know them. But they told me, you know, Tom, you got to understand one thing about him. He was one of the dumbest human beings I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the guy was just a moron. Had no idea what was going on with anything.
Yeah, that's what Prof said, you know, Pat Prof.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Who was involved in at least one movie that O.J. was in. And
yep.
He kind of said the same thing. He didn't take direction real well.
Because he couldn't?
Yeah, because he couldn't.
Yeah, he didn't because he couldn't. No, how's Pat? I haven't talked to Pat in years.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to him in it's probably been a year now. I just assume he's very busy with scripts, and you know, he's one of these guys. He gets up at 5 a.m. He runs 5 miles.
Yeah.
And of course he has a nice office at home. And then when he gets back, you know, he showers, he has breakfast, and then he goes up to his room and puts on a suit and tie, and then goes down to the basement where his office is, and just sits there and works all day, you know. But apparently he doesn't feel like he's being a true professional unless he's got a suit and tie on, or at least maybe it's just a sport coat, you know. But you get the idea.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't even have a tie. That.
I, you know, got to be honest, I probably do, but I don't know where they are.
Yeah, that's the same thing here. I'm sure I have them, but where, I don't know.
Yeah, that. Do you think the O.J. Simpson case changed life forever because you knew he was not going to be found guilty? You just absolutely knew it. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit, or what the hell was that?
I think
that
a lot of people
again?
Lost faith in the jury system that day.
Yeah, probably.
Well, and also, just remember, this may have started a trend, and you'll understand the comparison. One of the reasons that he wasn't found guilty was that the prosecutors were too busy having sex with each other.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
See, that could never happen again, though.
Generally, that can wait, I would say.
Yeah, that could never happen again. You're absolutely right. Like Fonnie Willis and that guy.
Kind of, kind of the same thing. Yeah.
So we have even bigger news than O.J. Simpson dying.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Literally bigger news. Minnesota's largest candy store is moving.
No.
Yep.
Not the one down south. There's south of the Twin Cities.
Yep. It's moving. There's a
where?
Highway 169 project that's somehow causing them issues. So they're just moving.
Where are they going?
They're currently in St. Lawrence Township, and they're going to be moving to Jordan, the country. No, I'm the city of Jordan, which is, I think, very close.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's going to be on much bigger land. I think they're building a bigger building, so it's going to be...
Oh, really?
It's already the largest, but it's going to be even bigger now. 2027, they say.
2027?
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
More years. So what's the name of it again? I can never remember the name of that
Minnesota's
place.
Largest candy store. It's what it's called.
That's the name of it?
Apparently, yeah.
Hmm. Oh, I thought it had a different name. I did.
Doesn't seem
I've been there.
I have never been there.
Galfan, you ever been there?
No. I was just thinking about the candy factory, you know, was in St. Paul, right? Is it still there? The one that turned out that made the nut goodies?
Oh, and Pearson's.
Pearson's, right.
Pearson's Candy
is
Company.
Still,
yeah, looks like it is still there.
Well, that's good.
Yep, right there on, what the hell is that street? It used to lead to WLOL radio, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I had a friend who worked at a candy factory. He worked in the jelly bean section, and he told me that the licorice ones were the ones that had fallen on the floor, and then they put it in the licorice vat.
Oh, I love licorice.
Licorice
don't
is
do
good.
This to me.
Oh,
why
yeah.
does everyone hate licorice?
I don't know. I'm a big licorice guy
I don't
myself.
Get it.
Black licorice, I love.
What a! I wish my title was. Candy factory jelly bean section. It's very whimsical.
Really is. Mm-hmm. There's no question about
it. Yeah, the other Andy says it's moving a mile at most.
Oh,
so
okay.
Same,
oh, that's good.
Same basic area. You can probably still see it from the same road, but there you go.
When my kids were at Halloween ages, my youngest son and my oldest son, they'd come home. And, you know, they would devour a lot of the candy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Max, my middle child, he has sort of a different mindset. So he would come home with the bag full of candy, and he wouldn't eat any of it right away, because he had to log it all. He had to do the the inventory, and then he had to know exactly how much of everything he had, and then he very slowly, like over months, would eat it. Mm-hmm. So he didn't like licorice. He especially didn't like it. Red licorice, which is it really licorice?
Well, no, red licorice isn't even, it's just like strawberry or something. Yeah, what is red licorice?
I don't know.
Yeah. Does it actually have licorice in it?
Probably not. But I happen to like the red licorice, not like I like the black licorice. Something about the texture that I like too. So, you know, these were like tiny ropes. They weren't, you know, the big thing.
Like red vines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like if you pulled apart a red vine?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So one day he kept all his candy in his room. So like it had been about a month since Halloween, and I knew he was never going to eat the red stuff because he didn't like it. So I went to his room, and I thought, well, you know, he's not going to miss this. He's not even going to eat it. So I had one of these little tiny packages of the red stuff, and he comes home from school, goes up to his room, comes down like in about 7.5 minutes, and says, "You ate my licorice, didn't you?"
Mm.
And I said, well, of course I did. I said, "You were never going to eat it." He said, "That's not the point."
No, it's not the point, damn it.
And I guess he was right.
It's still theft.
Yeah, and it made me feel like very guilty.
God, those were, you know, I still hold the record. Well, Michael Devitt and I do. Mike Davitt was my buddy in the neighborhood. First or second grade, we were out. And by the way, can you imagine this? A couple of second graders wandering through the halls and the alleys and the streets of North Minneapolis on Halloween night now? No. Imagine doing it. It wasn't a safe neighborhood back then, yeah. As a matter of fact.
No, you could get shot, that's for sure.
You could indeed. And by the way, a couple of second graders going down the alley between 14th and 15th in Bryant, north of Minneapolis, we got robbed.
There you go.
The guy, he was in full costume with the mask and everything, jumped out from behind a garage and robbed us both of our candy.
Well, to be fair,
I will never forget that.
Every movie that takes place on Halloween ever has the bully jumping out,
sure,
and taking the kids' candy. So that's apparently it was just what happened for a very long time.
Maybe that's what inspired him.
Probably, yeah, maybe he just saw Hocus Pocus and was like, of course, you guys would have been like in your 40s at the time, but still possible.
Well, you know, being a baby boomer and growing up on Cretan Avenue in St. Paul, it was just pure bedlam on Halloween. I mean,
oh, I bet.
Just everything, you know. There were hundreds and hundreds of kids, it seemed like, on the block I lived on. So the good thing about that was every now and then you'd run into someone who was giving out, say, full-size Hershey bars, right?
Ooh.
So just by changing a few little things in your costume, you could go to that guy's house like 5 times.
Oh, because you just change your mask up a little
bit? Sure,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And let's also not forget, that when I was 11 years old, I grew to be 6'1", and I had this voice, so nobody would give me candy.
I wouldn't, that's for sure.
11 years old. Trick or treat. And they're like, get the hell away from my house. What are you, 30?
Yeah.
They would not give me candy. I do remember that because I thought I was like 15, 16, 17 years old.
And, you know, that's interesting because I can still go trick or treating.
To this day.
To this day.
My kid, trick or treat. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting time. Well, you know, when you're doing a show and you hop on. I want to ask you guys one question, both of you, because you probably have a pretty good call on this. We had 2 guests booked today on the morning show. Neither one of them bothered to show up. Do you think that's because everyone has a podcast now, so they don't need to do radio or podcast interviews anymore?
That is entirely possible.
Yeah, could be.
Really is. Really is now. I think you're at the point, and I don't care if we ever have guests again, unless people want to come on, then that's different.
Yeah, for one of the guests in particular, it says the publicist cannot find him.
They couldn't find
although
him.
Although we have had
guy.
That happen many times, where the guests would just, like, vanish.
But why would you do that? We're promoting your product.
I don't know. You could have had some Doritos Tacos Locos the previous night.
It's tough to It's tough to be a publicist when it actually the job really requires you to be a probation officer.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That probably is a very, very good point. Now, I just, and again, I don't have anything against these people. I don't know one of them, Lisa Welchel. I've interviewed plenty in the past. But, I've never had two guests on the same show cancel, or not even cancel. They just didn't show up.
Yeah, weren't there.
And Las Vegas, you know, sometimes we had two members of the show who didn't show up, but.
Well, glug, glug.
That's right. Isn't that, that was really odd. It's like, you don't understand. We're working.
Well, plus the fact you had to understand that that show in Vegas started at 3:30 in the morning.
True, but.
Yeah.
But our body didn't change any.
No, it didn't.
You know, I mean, it was still 5:30 in our body's time. But
yeah,
I get
that's
the idea.
True.
But I understand it. And I remember, so, you know, in those days, I would start out, you know, like at 7:30 or something.
Yeah. Right.
So I just kept at my usual schedule. When it was, you know, 5:30 there, I'd show up in this big auditorium. And I remember coming in there one day, and they were just booing and jeering me because I wasn't there at the beginning.
It wasn't your fault.
No, I just said, this is, you know, I'm contractually obligated to show up here at this time.
You know, I did not know it until, I guess, about a year and a half ago. But nobody does those trips anymore. Because we used to do a trip to either Vegas or Florida. We did trips to everywhere.
Yeah.
Every year we went on a trip at KQRS.
Oh, yeah. We probably, you know, if we hadn't done that, Steve Wynn probably would have lost billions of dollars.
It's probably true. Yeah, you might be right about that.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But I remember going on those trips. They cannot do those anymore. You know why that is?
No.
Because no one will insure them.
Yep.
Ah. No, I wouldn't, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, think about that, because they had that one woman that fell down a flight of marble stairs that one year.
Oh, God, yeah.
And apparently you are responsible. If they came in to see you, you're responsible for them being there.
So stupid.
It's in the fine print, huh?
Fine print, baby. But, yeah, nobody does those trips anymore. I was even talking about going, you know, doing a casino visit, bringing people. But nobody does them anymore because the insurance, if you can even get it, is like $1.5 million for one day.
Wow.
It's a lot of money.
I don't think any of us were worth that much.
Oh, God, to this day.
$1.5 million per day? Yeah, Jeez. Not a lot of people are.
But, yeah, that's how much life has changed. You can't even do appearances anymore because if somebody gets hurt, it's your fault. Which I've never understood. How is it my fault that you drank and got hurt?
That's these guys, you know, these casino guys, they think of everything. I mean, they don't blink at spending $3 billion to buy a casino.
Right.
But... And then I guess the buck stops not with them.
I suppose that's true. I just glanced at the clock, and I wanted to make sure that we got here. We're basically about 15 minutes into the show, and I want to thank Gelfand for not bringing up the Twins because...
Yeah, they won. They won. They beat the Dodgers.
They beat the Dodgers yesterday in a day game, but that team is not very good.
They're going to have problems.
They are going to have a lot of problems. How's your Detroit team doing?
You know, they're showing promise, just like last year. They're a little better this year. They had off to a good start. And we'll find out, I guess, although the game today with Detroit was canceled.
Because of weather?
Yeah, bad weather in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, because it moved from Minneapolis to Detroit. Because a couple of days ago they canceled a game in Minneapolis, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I suppose this time of the year that does happen, but... Yeah, I still don't understand if you're a multi-billionaire why you don't want to spend the money to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because it seems like it'd be a good investment.
You'd think,
The pitching is going to be a problem.
Yeah, it really is.
It hasn't shown up quite so much yet. The defense is more pretty good. You know, it's not great. They have a little trouble in the corners, in the outfield.
Yeah. Yep.
The infield's good. And but you know they've already got like half the roster on the injury list.
Yeah, Royce Lewis can get hurt. There's no question about it. He's good at getting. Did you see the video? How the hell did he tear a muscle doing that?
I would have to say I hate to use the word, but I have to use the word prone.
You're prone to that kind of injury.
I think so. I mean, Seems like it. Look at Buxton. He always got injured doing things that were just basic components of baseball.
Very true.
So far this year, you know, everybody's saying, he's back. Well, sure, but it's been like 10 games.
Yeah. Jason M. in the chat says, K-Fan still does Vegas shows. They're there today and tomorrow.
Why did they go down this time of the year?
I don't know, but they did, apparently.
Well, probably because it's cheaper, right?
Well, I suppose there is that, yeah. Somehow they made it work.
Oh, so K-Fan's out of town the next couple of days?
Apparently.
God, I haven't talked to those guys in a while. I usually only see Meat Sauce during the summer when we play golf. Mm-hmm. Play a lot of golf in the summer. But I don't really see Meat Sauce in the winter much. No question about that. I ran into Rosie once in a while. You know, I see him at restaurants once in a while. We were talking about Rosen this morning on the morning show, and it just... Remember that, Gelfand, how wonderful that was?
Oh, that was just such an incredible time.
It was.
I wish I realized what was going on then. I didn't know anything about radio, you know?
Right.
And so I'm just coming in every day, we're killing it in the ratings and all that. I just assumed that was what we, you know, were expected to do. And only in retrospect did I understand what an incredible time that was.
It was. Minneapolis had never before and never will again have the number one rated morning show in America.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But look at how diverse that show was, which we never got credit for, by the way. We never got credit for the diversity that we brought to the state of Minnesota on radio, on television, all the rest of it. I mean, you talk about a show that had three blacks and two Jews on it back in 1986. What the hell? Look back at that. Think about that. Yeah. Really.
Today you'd need a lot of armed security, though.
Yeah, today you'd need. I still don't understand So you came to America from the Middle East, and now you're going to go on television and chant, death to America, death to Israel. Really? You've been given a free ride. We take you in, treat you like one of our own, and the first thing you do is stab us right in the back. Why?
Well, it makes us feel like an Ivy League school, though.
That's very true. That's where it all comes from, is the Ivy League schools, isn't it?
I don't think they're what the Supreme Court would call originalists. You know, I really don't. But they have to be opposed to many things, and they have to chant death to someone.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, especially the legacy kids, right?
Well, the legacy kids are the problem, I would guess. They're the ones stirring the pot the most.
Yeah, because it's time for them to rebel after growing up with that silver spoon in their mouth.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
But that's the thing about all this hassle about diversity, DEI, I think it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diversity, yeah, equity, yeah. And what's the I?
Inclusion.
Inclusion, yeah. Inclusion, the thing about yeah. that is that didn't get so much publicity is, along with that came supposedly the end of the legacy students. Now, they'll figure out a way to admit most of them.
Yeah.
But you got to believe that these legacy students, you know, the legacy students, say, at Harvard, and there are a ton of them, probably 90% couldn't get into that school if it wasn't for the legacy thing.
You're probably right, and I do believe it's about 90%.
So that could certainly change the makeup as well as the culture of these schools.
But let me ask you a question as human beings. So you're sitting at home, you were welcomed into a country, you're given a job, or you get a job, I'll say. You weren't even given a job, but you got a job, you're doing well, and then all of a sudden one day you decide to go on TV and blast the very people who let you in the first place, gave you the life you have, and you hate them for that?
And also, though, I don't know what the percentage would be, but probably 95% of immigrants who come here, they're just working hard, and they're doing jobs.
I agree. No, I agree.
So it's obviously a small percentage, but then it always is, right?
Yeah.
When things go bad.
But how do you stand on TV and reconcile in your own brain that I'm calling for the death of an entire country who allowed me in and took care of me?
It also reflects what's going on around the world.
Yeah,
you know,
there's no doubt about
it. I mean,
that,
you've
yeah.
got, in one case that I can think of, which is devouring a lot of human beings, it's like, you know, there's one war criminal going up against another war criminal.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, and Andy, this is for both you and Mike Gelfand, do you see any good ending to all of this?
Not really, no.
So either one of you, you guys just don't want
to
answer
that
question.
I mean, it can't end well for both parties. One of the parties has to have a bad ending.
Yeah, I suppose.
Which is unfortunate because, I mean, it's easy enough to say, but it didn't really have to end that way.
No, it did not.
But you've got politicians and terrorists, you know, on either side, who feel like they will lose. Well, in the case of Netanyahu, I mean, that's how he gets reelected all the time.
Yeah.
Is with wars.
Yeah.
So I think he's a criminal anyway, and if he, you know, and I have a lot of sympathy. I don't have really any empathy for them because it's hard to put myself in that place, but I have a lot of sympathy for people in Israel because they're not big fans of this war. It's a lot of people, of course, you know, that's the thing. You know, a friend of mine, I think I told you, a friend of mine said his kid came home from college one day, you know, and all of a sudden he was using the phrase, you know, like Zionist trash. Right? He picked it up, right?
God.
And he wasn't in favor of killing off anyone, but he picked up the phrase, you know. So this is a common thing, and the reality is that in Israel, as in the United States, most Jews do not really think of themselves as Zionists. Well, in this country, it's like 98% of Jews don't consider themselves Zionists.
Right.
It would be
right.
99, except for the fact that the uber-Orthodox Jews all have 10 kids.
They do have a lot of children, don't they?
Well, that's a mandate. Yeah. It is
a mandate.
God wants them to.
So outpopulate the others.
Yeah.
That's what
it's about. And they certainly accomplished that within the Jewish community because they are a much bigger percentage of the Jewish community than they were 10 years ago and 20 before that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just find the whole thing very, very sad that nobody can sit down and go, look, I know we don't agree politically, but do you really have to hate me for that? I really don't understand how you could be that upset. Because my politics, I got to be honest with you, do not run my life. I couldn't care less. Like I said, I've been a Democrat, been a Republican, been in the center, been all of, there's no comfortable spot, by the way. There's something wrong with all three of those positions, but there are some things right with all three positions as well.
Well, do you remember the time, we were very young, but do you remember the time when politicians would debate and they'd say things like, well, I think Mr. Nixon has a good point there, and for the most part, I agree with him, that kind of thing. You think you'd hear that now?
No, it's literally Biden's going to ruin America. Trump's going to ruin America. I mean, it's about the destruction of your life now. They're using that.
Well, and you've got one guy saying that when he's president, he's going to incarcerate all the guys on the other side.
Incarcerate who?
Anybody who's his political enemy.
Oh God. Why would you say something like that?
Well, that's how it is now. Everyone's just putting everyone in jail.
Well, I think that the base wants to hear that. They rally
do?
Around that.
Really?
I guess, yeah. I mean, everything is... Here's a great example, which is actually just funny. But the eclipse was what, about a week ago, right?
A few days.
A few days.
A few days, yeah. So, on Fox News, they were urgently telling people that with the eclipse at the southern border, because Mexico was really kind of all started there.
Yeah.
They were saying that because it was going to be dark for 4.5 minutes, illegal immigrants would pour across the border.
They already have.
Some people pointed out the fact that, there were going to be 11 and a half hours of darkness that night.
That is true.
Exactly.
So it's just comic.
But see, this is what I'm talking about. On both sides, you have these morons puking up their opinions on things that make no sense whatsoever, but people love to hear the argument. I don't know why they do, because I can't stand it, to tell you the truth.
Too much is enough.
Oh, God, it really is. Seriously, you watch the lying that these news organizations do is just unbearable. Look, I know that politicians are the worst human beings on earth. I've really come to a very clear understanding of that. But it's also the news reporters. I mean, that report came out the other day. A publicly funded company, every taxpayer pays for that into that company. It's National Public Radio, right? So you think they'd have an even keel position, wouldn't you?
Do you listen to, he's talking about radio, right?
Radio, yes, yeah. National Public Radio.
So I don't hear much news on radio, but I do watch occasionally the PBS NewsHour. Mm-hmm. And I think they play it way too much down the middle.
Oh, do they really? Because the radio does not.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I wondered about, because I just almost never hear it on the radio.
Well, here's the deal. 87 people are in the management. 87 have something to do with the management of NPR, mm-hmm. whether it's the salespeople or the producers or the writers or whatever. 87 people, 87 of them are Democrats.
Well, it's not a surprise.
But why would you do that? Everybody's paying the bill. Shouldn't you have a pretty even keel mix? That would be a good idea, don't you think?
Who's going to make them?
Well, the thing is,
the problem.
The thing is about that, it is people who are mostly liberals. We always hear about journalists are too liberal and all that. But it's liberals who are drawn to that profession.
Yes, that's true.
Because the heart and soul of journalism is challenging authority, is questioning power. Yeah. And that's something that liberals do.
Well, everybody does, don't they?
Well, they should. Yeah, no, regardless of who's in power, they should. That's what it's all about. You know, the Socratic method requires that. But I don't know. When I worked at the Minneapolis Tribune, I would have to say that probably about 75% of the reporters there probably leaned left. But there were at least 25% who leaned right. So there was some balance, and as much as you could have, really.
Why? Yeah, to be honest with you, the 87, if 27 of them were conservative and 60% were liberal, I'd go, yeah, that makes sense. Because of what you said, they're drawn to the business.
Yeah.
But 87 to nothing makes no sense at all.
Well, yeah, that's clear favoritism.
There's no question. Mm. Why do we allow something like that?
Well, I mean, there's so many answers to that. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose. Well, and again, I watch the news and I watch this and I read that, and I'm not a big fan of either one of them. They just lie their ass off for their own benefit, and it is to them all about making money. It has nothing to do with serving the people.
Well, like, especially with the networks,
yes.
It'll be a huge news day, right? I mean, every day is a pretty big news day.
Yeah.
But they'll be leading off with a near airplane collision. You know, over Texas or something. No one got killed. There was no big deal. But they're leading with that, of course, because there's video.
Oh, yeah. Video is a huge thing on national news now. You're right. It's a huge deal to have video of anything.
Yeah.
And then they'll play it 17 times per minute for the next 6 hours.
Yeah, very true. Do people fall for that kind of rhetoric on Fox and CNN? I mean, do people actually believe they're telling the truth? Because neither one of them are.
Yes, they do.
They really believe that my side says is right. Well, do a little research. But I suppose people don't have time to do research anymore, do they?
Yes, they do. They just don't do it.
Yeah, they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you want to know if the people are puking at you every day are telling the truth?
Well, one of the problems about doing research is you have to be savvy enough to know when you're being lied to in the first place. So it's like, if I know that I'm being lied to by the network media, then I'm going to do research in a very different way than most people. They're just going to go on Twitter, search a keyword, and whatever Twitter says, the consensus, that must be the truth.
Also, people want their biases to be confirmed. They don't want them to be challenged.
It feels good to have to be right.
Yeah.
Or to, you know, believe that you're right anyway.
I'm sick of always being right. It's wearing
me. it's just
time for a change of pace.
I've had people say to me, like, I've had people say to me, because I could be somewhat stubborn at times, and they'd say,
not you.
And they'd say, oh, it must be really tough to be right all the time. And I'd say, yeah, but, you know, on the other hand, it must be tough to be wrong all the time too, huh?
Yeah, think about it.
See, and that, of course, allowed us to come to terms with each other and compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure it did, yes.
Friendly dialogue.
I'm sure that's what happened. There's no question about
it. Hey, but let's face it. I mean, during the morning show, we polarized people.
But that was management's idea.
Well, but it wasn't so much. It certainly wasn't, you know, generally it wasn't politically. It's just...
No, a lot of it was not. Yeah, you're right.
It was just our general demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not putting up with any BS from anybody.
Yeah.
We didn't suck up to anybody, and that bothered some people.
Yeah.
Because if they have to suck up, then you do too. You think that's what the argument is?
I think so, yeah. It makes sense. I love the guy, but I remember when Wellstone said that our job was to inform and educate people, and we started laughing hysterically.
Yes, we did.
I don't think so.
Old Paulie was not a big fan of mine, I know that.
He, we had him on the... We had him on the TV show, Mark and I, and we had him. We had a guy on the show who did a really great Rudy Boschwitz, and of course, Wellstone had defeated Rudy Boschwitz.
All right.
So Wellstone was, you know, he was a very accomplished wrestler.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a college wrestler, high school and college.
Oh, okay.
And he did very well. So we had the fake Boschwitz and Wellstone wrestle. So Wellstone was, he did have a sense of humor, you know?
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
I will tell you one thing, Mike, that you topped everybody by adding John Gallus to your show. He was phenomenal on that show.
Oh, that was just luck, you know. We kind of stumbled into it. And
did you?
And he was a huge part of the show. Like, the first time we ever did anything with him, we were like, yeah, wow, we struck gold here. We had him the first time we had him in a bit. And, of course, he was just, everything he did was hilarious.
Yes.
And he was a good announcer, but, you know, but the thing was, he'd never done, you could tell he'd always wanted to do this sort of comedic bits, you know. So he'd go over the top, but it was funny, and it was better that way. So we had a bit one time. I can't remember what the store was, but it was one of these stores where, you know, you could find all sorts of bizarre things that no one would ever buy, except that they made great. they were just great gimmicks, you know. What was the Texatonka? The big store there where you could get, like, anything from dowels to dolls.
Yeah,
you know, remember right. What's the name of that place? I think it's still there.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So we found a...
The Texatonka Shopping Center is still there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this store is still there, but it's been so long since I've been there.
I'm at their website.
It's actually kind of like the anchor of that Texatonka.
The
shop.
X-Man Surplus store?
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
there
X-Man. Yeah.
Yeah, we had an X-Man over by my house in St. Paul.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we bought, Mark and I went through there buying odd things, and we found a fake, it was like an owl on a stick is what it was. And so we claimed that it was actually could be used as a weather vane, right? So
sure.
We told Gallus that he should, like, you know, run onto the lawn of WCCO TV, which is where we did the show, you know, and to test it as a weather vane. So he loved that. And so we got him, you know, doing take after take, running as fast as he could. And then somebody came up to us, somebody from the news section, and said, "Well, that's funny." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Yeah, it's just real funny. You got a guy who had surgery, had heart surgery like a month ago." We had no idea.
Well, how are you supposed to know that unless he told you?
I know. He never told us. We didn't know, but, you know, we still thought it was funny, though.
Well,
but that was, he would do anything, and he would make everything better.
Yep, he was phenomenal. There's no question. My mother, you know, he was a North Side guy. John Gallus grew up in North Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And my mother was still working the diner at Merwin's Drugstore, which is that's not even there anymore. It's the corner of, what was that, the Lindale and Broadway, I guess.
Yeah. That was with a Y, by the way.
It was, Lindale with a Y.
No, I mean the Merwin's.
Merwin's.
Didn't that have a Y in it?
I don't remember.
I thought it was
that.
Meryn.
It could be. Yeah, that's a possibility. But my mother worked there forever, and the reason I even bring that up is because John Gallus, North Side boy that he was, I would see him constantly, well, not constantly, but a lot of times, walking around the neighborhood, and he had a relative with special needs, and he always kept track of that person.
Yeah.
He was like the godfather of the special needs relative.
Oh.
He was so kind to that person, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, that was John.
Yep.
He always irritated us, though, because every week he'd say, "Well, you know, I really want to do the who's on first bit. I've got the whole thing memorized." And I'd say, "I hate that. I hate that." Every time I have ever heard it, I hated it. It gave me a migraine. But he still pestered. And one day we said, well, we just, you know, we got to let him do it. He's never going to stop. And so he did it. And he was, after that, he, you know, he'd accomplished what he wanted to.
Yeah, there's no question.
And I still hated it, by the way, even when he did it.
I understand. Andy, you're going to love this story. He also hosted the Laurel and Hardy show every Sunday morning, where Laurel and Hardy would be on for their 20-minute snippets and all that kind of stuff. And there was a picture of Laurel and Hardy behind him every time he did it. I did not know this, but that prop was on a piece of 3/4-inch plywood. So it was literally like 4 feet by 7 feet, something like that, 3/4 inch. And he's doing the show. I'm watching the show because I watched every Sunday because I loved him and Laurel and Hardy. I'm watching the show, and all of a sudden I'm looking, and it's behind him, right? I'm looking, and the plywood is moving very, very slowly. And then finally it got to the tipping point. I don't know why nobody warned him, because I got to believe the crew saw the thing moving.
Yeah.
Fell over and hit him right in the back of the head.
Oh, yes. I've seen the video of that.
Oh, my God.
I guess it wasn't video, but I've seen the film of it.
The film of it, yeah.
I know what I would have said when that thing hit me in the head. I would have said, that fucking Boschwitz.
Blame it on Rudy.
Rudy. Plywood, Minnesota.
That's right. Plywood, Minnesota. You can blame him for that.
Yeah.
But how can you set up a prop to the point where it can in any way tip forward?
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
Well, the thing had been there a long time.
Well, that's true. Been there a
plywood
long time.
Isn't the sturdiest thing in the universe.
And it wasn't attached. It was just a piece of plywood leaned up against the wall.
Oh, yeah, that's not a good idea. Put a strap on it or something.
Dial her back. That's all. I'm really glad you brought up John. It just put me in a good mood thinking about John Gallus. So thank you for bringing him up. He was just a wonderfully talented man, a nice man, a caring man. He was what, you know, I wanted to be. Never worked out.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. But you were very lucky. You worked with him, Z. I mean, how's Z? I haven't seen Z in years now.
Yeah, you and me both.
He just kind of disappeared. I always liked him, too. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, you're right. And I especially like the word you was.
Oh, there, boy, look at the time. We'd love to stay.
We had a little falling out.
Well, I didn't know you had a falling out. I never knew that.
Yeah, he went through a period of time when, you know, he was kind of down and out.
Yeah.
And this wasn't that long after my brother died. And he thought it would be funny to talk about killing himself every time I saw him.
Why was that funny?
I don't know. I kind of took it personally, to be honest. But that was Mark. You know, once he started on something, he couldn't give it up.
Yeah.
And that was part of his charm. He was a great co-host. I loved doing the show with him. He was a generous performer. He would set me up. I would set him up. It was a great relationship. So I have nothing but, you know, good thoughts about Mark most of the time. But that was just a tough period, yeah.
And then after he worked with you, you worked with Bo Caprow for a while, didn't he? Or was that while he was working with
you? Well, I met Mark when Mark and I were both working with Bo.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Because Bo and Mark, I think both of them had started this sort of like boutique radio commercial business.
Right.
Yeah. And then they invited me to be part of it. And so the three of us, you know, we did a lot of stuff together. And it was nice. Bo had this huge office. It was on Hennepin Avenue.
Yep, I remember
in Uptown. And he had this huge office. We were in a duplex. And then there was a little tiny alcove above it. And that's where Mark had to work. So, like, you know, he could hit his head there if he wasn't careful. And it was an interesting office culture because we were working in a building that was owned by a dentist, a pediatric dentist. So all day long, we're trying to do funny stuff, and we're hearing kids screeching in pain.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't think the dentist was as, you know, let's just say it wasn't a pain-free kind of operation.
Possibly not.
So eventually, I just finished this story real quick. Eventually, the dentist decided that he wanted to be in show business instead. You know, because he got the kind of the showbiz thing from Bo, right?
Sure.
So he went out to L.A. and he became a driver for a guy, I can't remember the guy's name, but a guy who was a big director in the horror business show. Really? This guy did horror shows, yeah. And so the guy who'd been the dentist loved that job, and I assume that he ended his career as a limo driver for the director.
But don't dentists make a hell of a lot more money than limo drivers?
Well, this guy, I don't know.
God.
But you would think so, yes. I don't think dentistry is, it's a pretty lucrative,
yeah,
if my bills are any indication.
Any indication,
oh, I
yes.
think dentists make plenty of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like it. I don't know. The one thing about that, it's just reminiscing, of course, ladies and gentlemen. There used to be three theaters right by their office, the Uptown Theater, the World Theater. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name.
And then the Lagoon came in.
Lagoon, that's right. The Lagoon came in. That's exactly right. But that neighborhood was vibrant. It was hopping. Everything was wonderful. Calhoun Square, which is now it's called something else now because it can't be Calhoun anymore.
I think it's called Calhoun Fear now.
Calhoun Fear? Yeah, there you go. But you could wander through there. There was always something going on. A couple of great restaurants in there. There was a lot of stuff going to Calhoun. I haven't been in Calhoun Square, I bet you, in 25 years.
Yeah, well, that says it all.
What happened to that neighborhood?
Things change, and a lot of areas get gentrified. But then what would be the opposite of gentrified?
Yeah, what would be? Did it get too dangerous around there?
Yeah.
That's what I understand. That's what I was told anyway. It's just too dangerous to go down there now.
Yeah.
Why did we ever allow that? I will never understand why we allowed people to be dangerous in the marketplace.
I don't know. I mean, there are always criminals around, and for some reason they wanted to be there. You know, Uptown used to be synonymous with like culture, with trends.
Yep. Yep.
It was hip. And you're right. And then, like, all of a sudden it wasn't. I don't live anywhere near Uptown.
Right.
But I have apartment buildings around me, like, you know, the Uptown Square. You know, they name their apartments using the word Uptown. And they don't seem to understand that it drives people away these days.
These days it does. There's no question about it. I don't know. It's just that I didn't mean to make myself sad, but I just did. Because I used to love to go to that market right there in the corner of 31st and Hennepin.
Oh, sure, yeah.
What was the name of that market again? It was a great market.
I'm trying to remember, but I sure remember the market.
It wasn't Paradise, no.
I don't know, but what was the name of the restaurant that was so trendy?
Famous Dave's.
Well, Famous Dave's, yeah, but that came in later. But the restaurant that was real trendy, right at the corner, the exact corner of Hennepin and, was it Hennepin and Lake, I guess?
No, you're absolutely right. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, I can't either. But everybody I knew was a place. It was sort of like, it was a very hip place, but also was a place, I think, where people went to meet each other.
I think that is true. There's no question about it. And it was between the Arby's on Emerson and Lake, at that time, Lake Calhoun.
There's the Rainbow Cafe.
Rainbow Cafe
was
big.
That's Hennepin at Lake since 1919, apparently.
Is it still there?
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think it might have. Let's see. Rainbow Cafe.
But I know one thing. If it was still there, it would. The waitresses would still all be older than me.
They always were, weren't they?
Oh, it was great.
Rainbow Cap, there's a Rainbow restaurant now. That's Chinese. But
it's a Chinese place?
The Rainbow Cafe closed in 1979, so no. It's
been a while.
It's not there.
But it lives on in our memories.
No, apparently it does.
Well, it was there for 60 years, so that's pretty good.
Yep, 60 years of business.
Yeah, they did pretty well there.
Oh, Chino Latino now.
Oh, yeah, Chino Latino. Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Be what you were thinking of. That's Hennepin and Lake as well, and that was trendy for a long time.
Well, that was real trendy. I remember one day, I'd never been there, and I was with someone, and we decided we were going to have lunch somewhere around there. And so he said, how about Chino Latino? And I said, yeah, I want to see what it's about. So you may remember at Chino Latino, You went downstairs. You came in, and then you went downstairs to the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
You know, it wasn't like a long flight, but it was just, you know, basement level sort of. And so all I remember is we opened the door, and we were confronted by this cacophony of sound. It was like being in the middle of, say, a Times Square on New Year's Eve. And so that's as far as I got.
Yeah. Well, that's close, too, so... Hey.
Yeah, that's right.
2020. You know,
what was the upstairs one? The one you went upstairs on the same block? There was another club up there. God, what the hell is
that?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
The reason I bring it up is because back in the days when I might have had a cocktail or two, I will never forget. You've met my friend Kendall Norberg, haven't you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Kendall.
Kendall's big guy.
Big fella. Big, strong. Really big guy, very muscular. We're sitting there, and some guy's just being a prick to me. Just, you know, and... Kendall looks at me and goes, just ignore the guy. He's a waste of time. It's ridiculous. And the guy just wouldn't stop. And so finally I got up to go over and confront the guy. As I was getting up, Kendall grabbed my face and set me back down and said, it's not worth your time, Tom. It's like, okay, I got the message, Kendall, on many different levels.
I didn't realize he was a peacemaker.
Oh, God, yeah. Kendall, very even. Well, you did not want to piss off Kendall Norberg.
Yeah.
I will tell you that.
Well, I never did, God. That's for sure.
No, we tried to steer clear of all that stuff. I kind of like reminiscing about this stuff because I just went all the way back to my grandfather, my father's father, telling me, who lived, I think he died in Long Prairie, Minnesota, which is where I was born,
right
back. But he was living in the Twin Cities, and this would have been like, 1900, so he's like a 15-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy, something like that. What became later on in life Hennepin and Lake Street, what did he used to do on Hennepin and Lake Street? It wasn't Hennepin and Lake Street yet, but that area that became Hennepin and Lake Street, what did he do as a little boy?
He sold newspapers.
Nope, he went deer hunting.
Oh, I love that. Deer hunting.
Think of it, like the turn of the century, 1900, there was probably nothing there.
Yeah.
Well, and there's still people there with guns.
Yeah. They're just hunting the most dangerous game now.
And the question I would have about, you know, we talk about Uptown. So what I wonder is, like, okay, so where is the new Uptown? Was it replaced by anything?
Andy, do you know anything about a new Uptown or an area that would be considered the same as that?
Is it on top of the old Uptown? Is it the very Uptown?
Yeah, maybe the very Uptown. There you go.
No, I don't. I mean, I stopped kind of paying attention to Minneapolis 4 years ago when I left. I just...
So sad.
I don't know. I don't care about it anymore.
It was so much fun, though. I mean, it's just... God, it was just
It was
great.
Fun living there, but...
Would it be in that area, the north of downtown?
You mean in North Minneapolis?
No, well, no, just the northern edge of downtown.
Like,
well, there's a lot of trendy stuff there. Well, like where, for example, where your studio used to be.
Yeah,
that was in the North Loop area.
Yeah,
North Loop. Yeah, mm-hmm. Itasca Building.
That was west of downtown more.
Oh, okay.
It was called the North Loop, but it was west of downtown.
Yeah, really? It was.
Yeah,
that just shows you why I failed as a cab driver.
That was
we'll just keep going north until we hit it. It'll happen eventually, I'm sure.
Around the globe a couple times, everything will be good.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of that, though. There's, like, the Southeast Avenue is actually, like, west of the city or something like that. There's all those directionally named things in Minneapolis are complete nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it that way.
Well, which reminds me, you know, northeast Minneapolis is very trendy these days, but I don't think there's anything like Uptown.
No, but probably the closest to it, I would guess, that area you're talking
about. And that area is gentrified.
Yes, it is. That's one thing I will tell you about being a teenager and then in my early 20s. One thing you learned when you went over to the Mississippi River on the bridge, whether it be the Broadway Bridge, the Lowry Bridge, whatever, the advice to you was, don't start trouble over Northeast, because you ain't going to like it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because everybody was either a cop or a cop's kid.
That's true. That's 100% true. There's no question about it. But all right, we only got about a minute left. Any wrap-up ideas?
I don't believe so.
No, I'm just, I'm still like, you know, inhaling the fumes from the good vibes of the eclipse. We saw people come together there. People actually flooded into Indianapolis. You know it's a great event when people are going to Indianapolis.
Maybe some of them even stayed.
You might be right. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.